5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Heaven high.
Heaven high from the United States of America. Do you like my accent?
It was good. I'll try and do an English one now. And heaven high from Great Britain. That was my English accent.
Great Britain.
Episode... Oh, and heaven high from Great Britain.
Episode 255.
The topic today is...
Uh-huh.
Now that Cliff Richard is definitely not a paedophile...
Definitely not Elm House paedophile. Definitely not Elm House paedophile. Definitely not. Kitty, who checked into Elm House, paedophile, not.
It is against the law to interrupt the topic.
Okay, sorry.
You are under arrest.
Apparently it's not the end of the law to bug a little children if you're a pop star, though. Anyway, carry on.
Now that Cliff Richard is definitely not a paedophile, is it safe to resume sending our small children to him in the post? Right, carry on.
It's
a topic, you're not allowed to discuss it.
I know. It's a pity, because it's... And probably also discussing it would lead to our being thrown into a guest
house.
Well,
I don't agree with anything that you're saying.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like what you're saying is heresy.
It is. Literally, yeah, yes. with him, because he's the world's best Christian.
He is. The world's smoothest Christian.
Yes, smooth as a pert baby's bottom.
Smooth as a balloon filled with Botox. That's not really so much a good... wasn't a very good simile there.
No, also, can you imagine a balloon filled with Botox as something that Putin would launch to get rid of his enemies?
This is true.
So, how you been doing?
Yeah, me too. How about me?
Do you still have a cold?
No.
Really? You seem to have
I haven't had a cold for at least a day or two, I reckon.
Wow, glory. It must be the second coming.
I reckon.
Yeah, so I'm in... I came into the United States, New York yesterday on an aeroplane.
Ooh!
Have you heard of one of those?
Your arms must be tired.
A Boeing 747.
Ooh! From with which airline?
British!
Good, thank goodness. Why didn't you fly Virgin?
Well, it just so happened that they had a good fare, you know.
Fair enough, then.
But it was... it was one of their older Boeing 747s, which means it didn't have Wi-Fi installed.
Ah, you loser.
And it also had the in-flight entertainment was on a screen with a resolution of 3 pixels by 2 pixels.
Did you have to wind it up?
Also, yes. And also it would put these weird blue, hazy black and blue boxes in the background shimmering around as if it were 1984 and this was NTSC. You know, that kind of weird interference that you get on an analog video signal sometimes. So, yeah, it was very retro. It was a male-only cabin crew, as far as I could see. Very, 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 very gay. Very gay. One of them touched my shoulder. Can I sue?
Yes.
Okay, good. Make some money from Willie Walsh.
He should have shouted directly into his face.
I'm here,
and then you would have owed him £50.
Because later on today, I'm taking a train to New London, Connecticut.
That's not a made up place.
Wait till you hear how made up it is, and I'm telling you, this is the truth. The river that runs through New London, they call the Thames River. They don't call it the River Thames. I'm not joking. They don't call it the. Yeah, they don't call it the River Thames. They don't even call it the River Thames. They call it the Thames River.
And it's spelt the same?
Yes, identical.
Oh, marvellous.
The Thames River runs through New London. I'm going there because I'm going to be speaking at Keto Fest. I'm going to be talking about the Mevalinate pathway. I asked you to draw something for me for it, but because you're rubbish, you didn't. So I fortunately never depend on you for anything.
Oh my gosh, I feel awful.
You're senile and rubbish.
I'm the worst. I can't believe you didn't remind me. Why didn't you remind me?
I wanted to see what would happen if I didn't, because I thought...
But you know that I'm the worst person on it. Oh, I'm really sorry, genuinely really sorry.
So I'll just use the clip art. The clip art was quite good anyway.
It probably was. It was probably better than anything I would have done. Oh, I feel I feel monstrous. I'm really sorry.
You see, it's bad for you. This could have been the launch of your career as a graphical illustrator.
It says anywhere. That would happen. It's sort of a bunch of people a little bit over-obsessed with carbohydrates.
Yeah, but, you know, Nina Teicholz will be there, and she's an author, and she might say, I want John to do the illustrated version of Big Fat Surprise.
Do you know what? I really hope that she doesn't, because there are good illustrators out there and I'm not amongst their number, and they should be paid to do pictures.
I think illustrators are undervalued. A good illustrator. I think what they can do to a project is just amazing, especially in these days of banal PowerPoint presentations and library photos and things like that. A good quality illustrator is probably the key to standing out. I've said this before, but actually in the 80s, a lot of computer magazines, particularly Compute Magazine in America, would actually have kind of hand-drawn and hand-painted covers. And it's extraordinary if you look at the quality of some of that art where, compared with what would be on the average magazine cover today, which is some sort of banal photo and lots of clips of things. Magazines, remember them?
No, doesn't ring a bell.
Any magazines still out that you... The Cat is still out.
But they don't want me inside it.
Oh, really? Have you been fired from The Cat?
I was fired ages ago.
I didn't know that. When were you fired?
About 6 months ago.
Why? I thought there was a very popular column.
you based that information on nothing whatsoever.
I based on your saying it.
I have never made any such claim. They have redesigned and dropped most of the columns.
Why?
I have no idea. I imagine they would pay me a ridiculous amount. It was a charity paying me a ridiculous amount of money to write some garbage about a cat that didn't do anything funny.
So probably cheaper just to have filler there.
Oh no, I think they still send me the magazine, which is very generous, and it's still got lots of very it's got proper detailed and informed articles in it now, rather than just people writing 700 word anecdotes. So I'd argue it's probably gone the other way. I don't know, they paid me better than I've ever been paid by any other place.
I'm
quite happy to take money away from charities that care about cats before they care about humans, so, you know, that's fine with me.
Do they apologise when they fired you?
Oh yeah, it was all very polite and lovely.
They said, I've got really bad news, John. Little Tiddles, otherwise known as your career with us, is having to be put down.
That's right.
Yeah. Be most humane if we just put your column to sleep.
It's okay, because my columns are still okay. They're just living on a farm.
Your column's romping in a farm somewhere.
Right. They've got much more space there for their verbiage.
Cats love romping on farms, don't they?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you worried about Donald Trump?
I'm a worried for his health, very much so. I think he looks permanently on the edge of a heart attack to me.
I think but also it's clear that his father's brain infirmity is obviously showing in him now. It's not ambiguous anymore.
Oh no, clearly. Yeah. But also, you know, he's a lazy old bigot. I love how you can imagine all those aides running around going, oh gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? If we pretend he meant to say "nt," we can get out of this one. Yeah, that'll do it.
Just read this cue card and don't do anything else, Mr. President.
Did you watch him? Did you watch the video of his reading that that card?
He was finding it very difficult to read.
There was that too, and also you could hear the silent screams of his aides going, you promised you would just read this one!
Yeah.
As he just kept trying to improvise. He has this thing where he has to improvise. Like, words trigger him to say bigger words, and he can't stop himself from doing it.
No, I mean, he literally can't stop himself. Yeah.
And he does it, and it goes off in these strange little cul-de-sacs of madness. And it was so funny how you could feel the tension in the room as each time he was meant to just be saying, I meant to say "unt," and therefore it's okay. And he's going off saying, oh, it should have been perfectly obvious. I thought it was perfectly obvious to me. I can't believe anyone would have got this wrong. But apparently some people were confused by my saying the exact opposite of what I meant. Apparently it was confusing for some reason.
Yeah. Still, it could be worse. Could be President Pence.
So what's interesting is how it had zero effect on his polling.
It's not. I mean, it's not surprising. As I say, in market economics, the market's already priced all that in. There's nothing you could do now that would change it.
But siding with Russia, I would have thought, if you said 10 years ago and went to the Republicans who are currently impossibly sold out for him and said, what would you do if the President of America stood up and said, I side with Russia against our own intelligence agencies? There wouldn't be a single one amongst them who wouldn't say, I would have that Democrats stripped and for parts.
I'm not sure, because since the end of the Cold War, there's been an ambivalent relationship with Russia. If you remember, George Bush had Putin over for a fishing trip and said, I looked into his soul and saw a good man or something like that. Then Hillary Clinton had the reset. Do you remember the reset?
Oh, no, we don't.
It's where she, so embarrassing, she was sent by Obama and she literally took a big red button on a plank.
Oh.
And she and like the Russian ambassador, whoever it was, both pressed the big button to reset the relationship between Russia and America. If you look this up, it's very embarrassing. So I think it does go in these oscillatory cycles. I prefer it, actually, when the US is sucking up a little bit to Russia and vice versa, because I think it's less there's less likely to be immediate war.
That's why to go bang.
Yeah, I don't mind. The Kim Jong-un thing as well. While the nasty men are thinking we have to at least pretend to be friends, I prefer it, because it buys you another day.
So, I see your logic with Russia. I don't see your logic with North Korea, because I feel like they are... There it's much more playing to the just to tropes of spy movies or, you know, whatever. So it's like, aha, yes, I promise I will not blow you up.
Well, the thing
he
about,
seems much more primed now just to press the button for larks.
No, the thing about Kim Jong-un is I think he, because he had his taste of the West, I think he just desperately wants to keep his luxury and survive. I don't think he's an ideologue at all. I think he's. I think he wants Mercedes. He's driven by Mercedes rather than by mania. That's what I predict.
Interesting.
That's what I predict anyway. So I'm going to New London and I'm going to be talking at Keto Fest about the mevalinate pathway.
Yeah, no one cares about your ridiculous cult.
Mevalinate pathway, that's our statins work. I'm going to be taking what is a relatively complex set of chemical reactions and trying to explain them in a way that somebody who just did kind of pre-GCSE chemistry will understand them.
So well, I did A-level chemistry, so you don't need to patronise me.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. And what I'm really focusing on is taking some of the scary words and kind of detoxifying them by actually giving the etymology and why they were called that and how we named that molecule, just to make it easier. And my theory is that dealing with the language barrier helps, because I think people see things like 3-hydroxy-3-methylglutaryl coenzyme A reductase inhibitor and they get scared. If you understand every component of that in the same way that you understand the name of your football team and why it's called that, then I think things get a lot better. So that's what I'm predicating my talk upon. So we'll see.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll
share it with everybody.
Good. Everyone's going to be really fascinated.
They should be. It's really well done. I did lots of animations.
I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. Sneeze before I could tell you I was going to sneeze. That was a revolting. I hate sneezing so much.
Well, I hate you so much.
Well, good.
Anyway, you were going to say...
I was going to say, before my brain exploded at my face, you talking of detoxifications.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see about the lovely people of Bubbling Life?
No, what on earth is Bubbling Life?
So I tweeted about this yesterday, but I imagine you were far too busy being on an aeroplane to care.
Oh, I don't read other people's tweets anymore unless they tag me in.
That's fair. You're far too important.
I am.
Yes. When are you going to get a check mark, for goodness sake?
I will be proud not to, unlike you.
Yeah, I had to get one because everyone else had one and I felt left out.
Yeah.
So it was very important that I got one.
Like smoking, yeah.
It's different in my case.
Yes, true. Anyway, well, who was Bubbling Life?
Bubbling Life were this week condemned by the ASA for their claims on their websites. And have made no changes whatsoever to their website as a result. Thank goodness for the Advertising Standards Agency, everybody.
How powerful.
My favourite thing is when they say, a complaint was made in July 2017 about this advert on the Tube. And then you go through it all the way to, it's upheld. Weak actions. This company is no longer allowed to run last July's advertising campaign. That's genuinely what their action is.
I know.
So you can't run last year's adverts.
The formula companies always bank on this as well.
Yeah,
they'll say your boobies are icky and formula is made by Jesus, and unless you feed it to your baby, you're sending your baby in the post to Cliff Richard. And I put that on a poster. And then the ASA will say 3 months later, you can't make that poster again. So then they make the exact same poster, but with a pink background. Mm-hmm. And then the ASA says, oh, no, you can't run that one as well. And they make the next one with a blue background, and then so on. So, yeah, it's just priced into the It's just priced into the marketing strategy. It's a known thing. You run it as long as it needs to run, then the ASA will complain, then you slightly change it and run it again next season.
Fair dues. Anyway, their website, they have a section called Cease.
Uh-huh. Spell that. As in stop.
Yes, as in K-E-A-S-E.
Uh-huh.
Cease is a specific protocol which combines homeopathic medicine...
Oh, dear.
...orthomolecular supplements...
In other words, supplements with molecules in them.
Which I assume is what you're talking about tomorrow.
No.
At your fest. No. Naturopathic interventions...
Leaves.
...in order to address health and behavioural issues in children and adults.
Uh-huh.
Taking into account all causative factors which may have contributed to the autism spectrum expression,
mm-hmm.
such as diet, medications, including vaccinations,
mm-hmm.
exposure to environmental toxins,
mm-hmm.
effects of illness, potential mm-hmm. family history and genetic burden, etc., etc.
Okay.
The process involves homeopathic isopathy,
uh-huh.
orthomoleculars.
Yeah, they've said that already.
Naturopathic components.
Uh-huh.
And constitutional homeopathy.
What's... So the first one was homeopathy as well, wasn't it?
Homeopathic isopathy is very different. It's a very different bottle of water.
As opposed to constitutional homeopathy.
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Wow. Dr. Tina Smits, which is a very lazy name to have made up for this for this comedy show.
How do we spell? How do we spell that name?
Tina Usa, F Sama Itasa.
Tinos, okay.
Tina Smits, the founder of Cease, having seen over 300 cases of all levels of severity, concluded that Cease is a quote very effective way to address ASD and autism with amazing results. End quote.
Also. 300 isn't a big enough number to say over.
I love that.
You should say around 300.
He said, I like that he said that the founder of Cease has concluded that Cease is very effective in one sentence.
He's a doctor. Are you a doctor?
No, I'm not a doctor. In his clinical experience, autism is an accumulation of different causes with about 70% due to vaccines,
mm-hmm.
25% due to medication and mm-hmm. other toxic substances...
Mm-hmm.
Medication and 5% due to certain diseases.
Okay. Well, I'm glad he's found out the solution.
That's right. So it's only 70%. He's 70% Andrew Wakefield, his Dr. Tina Smits.
Okay. And his solution is the homeopathic leaves.
Yes. Orthomoleculars. This exists. This is still online, even after they've been told they are obviously not allowed to say. I should have said, Cease presumably stands for Functional Solutions for Medication and Vaccine Consequences.
But that's not Cease.
I know. That's why it says Cease, and there's no explanation at all. But title case, it says Functional Solutions for Medication and Vaccine Consequences. You know, for some...
Where can we buy these sugar pills?
I'll just book a consultation.
Oh, one-on-one. How much does it cost?
Please note, when you click book, you will be taken to a calendar where you have to choose a date and time for your booking before you proceed.
Let's choose one. Go on, then.
Would you like to... Oh, I can tell you the prices. They don't even hide the prices.
Okay, how much?
I'm on the naturopathic protocols. You can have a naturopathic consultation, hour and a half, £250. Uh-huh.
Good value for an hour and a half's worth of a medical consultant.
An hour and a half of lying. The service is a whole person assessment, including individual health, lifestyle, environmental conditions, and recommendations on how to improve. These includes -WHOL... That's what it says. That's what it says there. Then you can have a GAPS consultation. Same price, same length. That's gut and psychological syndrome. That's what GAPS stands for. That includes a full individual report with orthomolecular recommendations, relevant supporting naturopathic And then a cease consultation is a predominantly, and again, £250 for an hour and a half, a predominantly homeopathic / orthomolecular consultation to assess current health and behavioural challenges, includes homeopathic isopathy, orthomolecular naturopathy. There are learn more buttons on these, but that's what they want you to
Which
know.
One would you choose? Oh, those three.
I'll definitely go for GAPS, because it's a good acronym.
Okay.
Then there's the homeopathic services. So an hour and 20 minutes is only £160.
Uh-huh.
So I should patronise our listener by telling them that's why homeopathy now just let me erect my skyscraper-sized scare quotes works end skyscrapers because you spend an hour and 20 minutes talking to someone about how crap you feel and at the end you feel a bit better and that's genuinely the success, the root of success. That's why homeopathic consultations are always over an hour because
yes,
you get an hour of therapy and you feel a bit better at the end.
Yes. Talking cure.
But you attribute the success to the bottle of water they gave you at the end. There's a child consultation, that's 50 minutes, and that's only £110.
Oh, you can send Toby to that to deal with his issues.
Yes, children up to 16 years must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. Then you could tell the whole family, 2 hours, £220.
Hmm.
Or you could go, I'll tell you what, you'd like this. There's a good gut workshop.
Okay, wonderful. I imagine for their good guts, I tend to eat lots of vegan stuff. Roughage.
Now, this is going to have been on the 13th of May.
Okay.
So you can book now for the GAPS/paleo introduction. See, I'm telling you, these are your people.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the secrets of gut healing, restorative broths.
Bone broths.
Restorative broths. I feel like I've fallen through a time tunnel. With L, GAPS TM practitioner trained with Dr. Campbell-McBride. Discover fermentation, nourishing and traditions, paleo. Ah, I have to learn more on this one. Sadly, the 10th of June is sold out.
Oh, no. It's a pity.
That was going to be kefir kombucha, talking on ginger beer.
Do you like kombucha?
Shop-bought fizzy drinks are not only full of artificial ingredients, but also shown to contribute to tooth decay, obesity, and hyperactivity in children and adults.
Yeah, but, kombucha is fermented tea.
Well, good.
And it doesn't taste very nice, so what they do is they add lots of sugar to it to make it taste better.
I've decided that's Dr. Kefir Kombucha. That's his name. That's the name of a doctor.
So which one are you booking?
Well, hang on. There's the 22nd of July. That's still to come. A fermentation masterclass.
Okay, well, I'm very happy to ferment stuff. I made... I ate some kimchi last night at the all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue. I like the all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue, which...
Did you sizzle the meat yourself in the middle of your table?
Yeah, and it's because all you can eat, you just ask for more and more and more meat, and of all sorts, and I just... it was wonderful.
It is so good.
And then what they say is, if you leave it, you're not allowed to take any meat home, and if you leave any meat on the plate, then you pay a $15 fine. But you can ask for as much as you want.
That's clever.
So I did.
Good. Did you pay the fine?
How dare you insult me like that?
I thought your eyes might have been bigger than your stomach.
Never. Never. No, it was very good. They had wonderful. And the thing is, this place did included ribeye and flank steak and brisket and all that and all those things, hundreds of other different things, and you could get short rib and all that. And it was $32 for a kind of complete all-you-can-eat stuff. And you think about how much one steak costs at steakhouse.
Yes.
It was kind of a thing, really? How do you manage to do this exactly? It was extraordinary. I'd recommend it.
And what was it you ate that you particularly enjoyed?
I particularly enjoyed the very thin-sliced raw brisket that you then fried up that I thought was the best, actually.
But did you say you enjoyed the kimchi?
Kimchi. You loved kimchi, yes. It's,
okay. Well, then, on the 14th of October, can I recommend you booking in for £55 for the three-hour sauerkraut and kimchi session?
Yes.
At Bubbling
Actually,
Life?
I would quite like that.
Sauerkraut needn't be boring. Kimchi needn't be made with fish sauce.
Oh, yeah, it's very vegan-y, isn't it? Except kimchi need be made with fish sauce, because
yes,
that's
is.
What makes a kimchi.
Exactly. Discover how to temper these wonderful basic recipes with little, scare quotes, extras. That means semen. To make your taste buds
Why are
sing.
You talking? I thought you weren't allowed to talk about...
All organic / biodynamic produce supplied.
Biodynamic
produce.
That's where, you have to... thresh it at a full moon and pray to Athena or something like that.
It genuinely doesn't give any more information than that. It's just 3 hours of eating vegan kimchi.
Oh, Sounds good. I'd like that, wouldn't you?
Mm-mm. There's a picture of a raw onion with cloves stuck into it.
Lovely.
And some a really nasty angle. You know how if you get a sliced apple at just the wrong angle, it looks like a cat's bottom?
Yes.
They've managed to get that just the right angle.
Talking of that, are you going to have another baby?
We're not doing very well in so far.
No, I didn't know whether I noticed in Laura's latest blog, I said, and then we're going to try again. Are you going to do another one? You're going to get one from Africa.
We had four eggs. We've miscarried two. We've got two to try with. So
you know the phrase.
Can't make a human without miscarrying eggs. Is that
no? No.
That's pretty good, though.
It is pretty good. You can't make a human without miscarrying eggs. No. Yes. Third time lucky.
I have an episode title.
You do. Third time lucky.
Oh, I see. Yes, that's right.
So it has to be the laws of the universe.
I'm not very good at statistics, but there's a 1 in 3 success rate, so this time it has to work, right?
Third time lucky. Why do you think it says third time lucky? It's kind of proven by science now.
Why didn't they just pick out the third egg for the first round?
Because they're idiots, because they wanted to charge you more. Exactly. Money-making.
That's them. Just wanted to rip us off.
Actually, this does worry me, actually, to a degree. Because they're not, obviously, publicly funded organization, they're private and so on, isn't there incentive that you just carry on infinitely and they'll never tell you, actually, guys, it's time to stop now? Because they want you to do it as many times as possible so they can make loads of dosh from you. What stops them from having that distorted incentive?
Ethics?
Yeah, no, but there's money, and money often distorts ethics, I find, in medicine. I mean, why won't they just say, you've just got to try again and again and again, and when you're thinking, like it's your 10th time, and you're totally distressed, and your marriage is being destroyed, and say, no, you've got to try again.
Get
some money.
It's interesting, we've talked to our specialist, and he's saying because Laura is obviously scientifically trained, the two of them sort of garbling away about studies they've been reading, and I sit there twirling my hair and looking pretty.
Yes.
And
attracting Cliff Richard.
Exactly, and he will often, as a beautiful adult woman like I am, our specialist, he will say the worst part of our job, his job, is the person who comes in and insists on doing yet another round when you know it's not going to work.
Well, you hear of people who have done like 10, 15 rounds of IVF, and you think that just becomes your life at that point like this.
Well, I suppose, at the same time, you know, we've done 3 rounds and it's quite routine at this point, so I can almost imagine that you can just get on with it. You have a week of feeling sad once every 3 months, so it's, you know, I can see that it becomes, if you've got infinite cash supplies.
I suppose so.
How much do you think it would cost to buy this organic culinary gift set, which contains one small jar of, hang on, let me get the ingredients properly, 100 grams of fine salt in a shaker.
Mm-hmm.
100 grams of granulated in a grinder.
Uh-huh.
Just granulated, not what it is granulated.
Yeah, it's just granulated, yeah.
100 grams of salt and seaweed in a shaker, and 35 grams of green peppercorns in a grinder.
I don't know.
It's only $19.99 for that £5 worth of salt.
See? Cheaper than IVF.
That's true. I'm just browsing Bubbling Life shop. They say that vaccinations cause autism. That's a distinct and proven lie.
Oh, I think you're just bought by Big Vaccine.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Hang on. We should go to an ad break now.
Go on, then.
Why not buy vaccinations? Vaccinations are great.
Yes.
This recommendation brought to you by GlaxoSmithKline. Welcome.
And Casper.
Yeah, that's right. And also Squarespace. Vaccinate your website. I'm glad we don't do adverts on our podcast that all 7 people listen to.
It actually is almost impossible to listen to what they called? That awful Mostly Fun or Totally Funny.
Not That Fun with Jesse Boom Voice.
Yes. And it's like, it's not just the adverts, but then they break to advertise other podcasts in the podcast. And the latest version of Oh No, Ross and Carrie within the last few months, they pretend that, and you hate that sort of arching, they'll pretend that they know what advert's going to be slotted in for a particular podcast. So they'll go, never mind the Mormons. Do you know what I really believe in? I believe in the following podcast. It's such fun. And then they'll play the advert and say, yeah, I love that podcast. I always listen to it. You know, that kind of...
That's clearly good.
But you don't like that sort of listener deceit or pretending that you something's live and isn't, all that kind of stuff. So
oh, it's horrible. Oh, it's just yucky from top to bottom. It's and also, how are you supposed to trust these people?
Also, the fact is they do a very big listener drive where they get subscribers and they claim to get lots of money. And they claim that that's where they get most of their money. So why bother with the advertising any longer?
It does. I do wonder. So the only advertising in a podcast I can cope with is that one, the Idle Thumbs one.
I don't know what that is.
Idle Thumbs is a gaming podcast, but they do. I don't listen to gaming podcasts. Why would I?
Mm.
It would be a very busman's podcast.
You've fallen out of love with gaming, anyway.
No, I quite like gaming. It's why it's my job, but. I don't really want to listen to other people having wrong opinions about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I think... Important If True, that's what it's called. It came back to me. And I love that podcast. It's very good. And I like the people who do it. I've met them in actual real life and they're nice people. But they do adverts. But their adverts, they're really funny. And they end up... It becomes quite clear how much they hate talking about the products. They end up saying things that if the product ever heard, they'd probably be quite cross about it. That works quite well.
Well, sometimes presenters like to pretend that they would only ever advertise a product that they would actually use or like. You know, they start with that lie or they tell themselves that, and then they slowly slip away from that truth.
Well, what's entertaining about Important If True is they've almost uniquely been sponsored by Quip. Have you come across the Quip adverts?
No, what is a Quip?
Quip is a rechargeable electronic toothbrush that they send you new heads for it every 3 months.
Right. Probably not particularly good. Just
so a subscription. You can subscribe to a toothbrush. Is the notion?
It's actually tooth. Not
it's tooth. It's tooth. My father was a dentist, and he said tooth, and therefore he is informed and correct.
Okay, and look what happened to. And look what happened.
Yes,
to me.
It's a good point. It's a slippery slope.
1 minute you're saying tooth.
Next minute pulmonary embolism.
Watch out, people! Watch
anyway,
out.
Watch out, everyone in the whole of Wales.
Yes.
Anyway, that's what I was saying, but more interesting.
Oh, did you enjoy the picture of the train I showed you where ScotRail...
I told you I didn't enjoy it, and I'll tell you why I didn't enjoy it. What website was that?
Tell me what I did first. It was the Scotsman, I believe.
The Scotsman. What did you do? You said, ignore the article, but look at the terrible development evidenced by the livery in the second photo.
Yeah, of the train, which said ScotRail, but it said something else. Can you tell me what it says?
Well, no, to which I replied, arg, that site loaded in ads faster than I could scroll past them, then started playing music without permission. Some Gaelic on a train seems virtuous at this point.
Was it bagpipe music?
It wasn't, sadly. Oh my goodness, don't ever visit the Scotsman, everybody, especially not on a mobile phone where you can't ad block it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, but anyway, they've started...
Hang on, I've just loaded the website because you asked me to do that. So,
yeah. Okay, can you read what it says? Because, of course, nobody would understand what ScotRail means. So what does it say underneath ScotRail?
So you don't want me to read the article?
No, just read what it says underneath ScotRail on the livery.
It says, I wonder if that... Can I make this photo bigger because it cuts off?
Well, you can guess what it probably says.
Okay, it says, Real na Hablo. Halbo. H-Albo.
Albion, or it's like Albion, you know, whatever they call themselves in their Scots Gaelic. And I was just thinking that, you know, there we are. It's finally infested Scotland. We knew that they had it a bit by the Scottish Parliament and all that kind of stuff, but it's now going full Welsh, Scotland. Isn't that very sad?
It is a bit sad.
It happens with nationalism.
I know for a fact that they're spending very little money doing it, but it is horrible, yes.
Well, they're spending little money at the moment, but the SNP are constantly...
No, the SNP
are... Yes, they are. I've read their Scottish language policy. I actually read the whole policy, unlike you.
Well, did you read it in Gaelic?
No, they do publish it in Gaelic, though.
I bet they did.
They do, yeah. But no, they are very keen to basically go full Welsh for obvious reasons, because it promotes separatist nationalism.
I don't like it.
No, nor do I. We discussed this at length with people, but I suppose those who've just started listening to us will be shocked, because you're supposed to fetishize these pathetic little minority languages. But
The same happens when you go to Italy. They don't have English anywhere.
It's funny. They wouldn't have Italian these days. They'd have the local dialects as the primary.
That's true, that's right.
It's like when you go to Barcelona, Spanish is a dirty language you shouldn't speak. You speak Catalan.
You just want to build a Tower of Babel so you can reach God. Your hubris will eventually defeat you.
Yes. Ugh. Hate all these little political languages.
They're an integral part of their culture, Nick. Why don't you understand this?
Yeah. Had enough now.
Okay.
By the way, this doesn't mean that I think that... quite the opposite. You know, people say, well, does that mean that you agree with people who say English for... America is an English-speaking country and all that kind of thing. And I say, no, I'm perfectly happy if Spanish becomes the primary language of America, that's fine. Or even if it becomes a bilingual nation properly, that's fine. And, you know, everybody should learn Spanish. When I was walking with Judy to school yesterday, I started teaching her some Spanish because I think every kid should know Spanish. That's fine. But this kind of political fetishization of these giant panda languages is just pathetic and ridiculous and dangerous.
You would agree that if English were to become provincial in England, such to the point where no one didn't speak which other language had replaced it, and English became, and most people, barely anyone spoke English.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous. Now look, carry on studying English in universities and things so you can understand its poetry and the Shakespeare and all that kind of stuff, but don't force it down children's throats as a political project. That's all I'm saying. And, you know, when our Chinese overlords finally take over, we're going to have to learn, whichever one of their many dialects they decide is going to become the world language, probably Mandarin. Shall we choose Mandarin?
Sure.
All right.
During that, I received a phone call from my dentist reminding me that I get to go in for a root canal tomorrow.
For which the anaesthetic won't work.
Indeed, it won't. I had this is the third visit for the same root canal.
Uh-huh.
The first time it was just abandoned because the dentist couldn't bring himself to cause me that much pain. The second time he did a lot more injections and injected. He'd made enough progress the first time that he could get a needle down inside the tooth itself to inject anaesthetic directly in there, which made it significantly less painful. However, the only way he was identified, it turns out that my none of my teeth is normal.
Oh, you're so awful.
And he couldn't find the roots. He found false roots that contained nothing inside them. And the only way he could identify that he'd found a real one was by the wailing, agonizing pain noise that I made with my mouth. And he went, it's quite useful that you don't go numb because it means I can find them.
You're so awful.
I know. Can you imagine? I genuinely... This is a weird thing.
Bringing more children into the world with those problems.
When I came... Well, hopefully, so Laura, hopefully Laura shall override. When I came home, I genuinely cried. It was so weird. I'd been in a chair for 45 minutes in pain or in real, genuine fear of pain. And it was really interesting to experience actual fear. Because as someone who lives with perpetual, irrational, imagined fear...
Yes.
I have generalized anxiety disorder means that rather than just being a scaredy cat, my brain fires off the "ag, there's a tiger" when there are no tigers pretty much all day long. So to actually be in genuine fear, it's valid and rational to be scared now because pain is about to come. It was a very interesting experience. I was trying to analyze it from that perspective in order to make myself hate it less. But after it turns out 45 minutes of essentially being tortured... Mm-hmm. Maybe could do a cry. I was really traumatised.
Just don't bother.
So I get to go back tomorrow for more of that, so that's good.
You should probably have it done under general.
I think it would have been the next stage if he couldn't have got as far as he did. I'd much rather have some pain for 45 minutes than all the risks and fuss of a general having to, you know, that takes you out for the next day, and it's just ridiculous. So no thank you. I'd much rather be in pain for a bit. But, God, yeah, more of that tomorrow, so that's good. And then after that, then they could
hold on, wait a second.
Crown for the tooth.
Hold on, John.
Huh?
Is it a Chinese dentist?
No.
Say yes.
Yes, it is.
Is your appointment at 2:30?
That part is actually true. Yes, it is.
I wish it were.
No, I can't remember if it's this one. I had an appointment... And then I then cancelled because the pain went away, an in-between appointment that I cancelled because I didn't need any more pain issue. The pain went away eventually. And that was definitely at 2:30.
2:30.
But it wasn't, so I didn't go.
So no 2:30.
Exactly. I think if I were... Like, you know how some hotels in America don't have a 13th floor?
Yeah.
If I were a dentist, I would just not allow 2:30 to be on my appointment books. It would just be, there was a 2:20 and a 2:40 slot, but the 2:30 isn't bookable.
No, I would agree.
Yeah.
A little time for meditation for the dentist. All right.
There was a Chinese dentist who worked in my dad's practice.
Oh, can you imagine his 2:30 appointment?
You racist. It was a lady, actually. Ha!
Sexist.
You murderer.
At least I think she was a human lady.
That's true. You win. Yeah. You do win there.
Shall we say goodbye to everybody?
No. Let's say goodbye to 85% of people.
Well, that's
one. We'll leave the other 15% just hanging.
Well, you're just leaving a limb lying around then.
That's true. That's a good point. So are you in New York at the moment? Am I right in thinking
that? I am, yes.
And are you only in New York for a day?
Yeah, I go this afternoon to...
Oh, it's this afternoon. Oh, what are you going to do this morning?
Well, talk to you, do some work.
Some work.
Go for a run and have some breakfast.
Oh, what are you going to get?
A big omelette, I think.
Mm-mm.
One of those, you know, those ridiculous American ones. Yes. They just throw the fridge into the omelette. They tip the fridge over.
The best American omelette I ever had was in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I'd seen Beth's Diner or Beth's Cafe, I forget which one it is, on Man vs. Food.
Uh-huh.
And I was with a friend in Seattle, and she took me out to visit Beth's, I think it's Beth's Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered, they either do, the two omelettes you can get there are the 6-egg or the 12-egg omelette.
Obviously the 12.
So I got the 6 because I didn't want to actually be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with infinite hash browns.
Oh, yeah, that's very dangerous for you.
And so much bacon and all that bits. No, it really isn't. Not when you've got 6 eggs on a plate in front of you. And I ate this delicious, ridiculously delicious meal. That was that was Sunday at 11 in the morning. We went there. Mm-hmm. And I next ate Monday dinner time. Monday tea time was the next time I ate food.
That's exactly how you should do it.
It was amazing.
Well, that's how you should do it. You should feast and fast. If everybody basically just did that, people would be a lot healthier.
If there were a restaurant on the whole of this fetid aisle that would make an omelette with more than half an egg for less than £12.50, maybe we could.
You could have a heart healthy egg white omelette for £82.
Oh, I hate this country. I hate when you go, oh, an American diner, an American style diner is opened up. Maybe this one will have ever been to an American diner. No.
Well, I told you before,
the three options on the menu all cost £15 and they're titrated onto the plate.
Well, I told you about 4 years ago on this very podcast about the one near our house in London where the so-called American diner, where you had to pay per pickle.
They got it.
Exactly. Like all diners, do they bring you your plate? Oh, no, they say they meter your pickle consumption.
I bet. And when you walked in, did they immediately pour you a mug of coffee?
Yeah, right.
And then keep topping it up without checking with you first, and then charge you for just the one, and then charge you half as much as the cafe next door.
Didn't even bring the ice water.
I hate this country. Laura and I went to a posh restaurant recently.
Okay, why? What?
Because Laura had been given a £50 voucher to this place.
Okay.
So that covered half of our meal.
Uh-huh.
In this restaurant. We had to ask for anyone to bring us drinks, let alone water. Mm-hmm. And then it was during the very hot weather, and it was brought out in a ceramic jug with no ice.
Well, this wasn't a posh restaurant there, because the whole point about, say, a Michelin star restaurant...
Oh, wasn't that posh?
No, exactly. Michelin star, they know that. They have to anticipate that sort of thing. And if they don't, they lose their star. So, okay, yeah, it wasn't that posh. Oh, interestingly, here's some advice for maybe some parents if you're teaching a child to swim. We had a bit of a breakthrough with Judith and swimming last week. Usually Victoria takes her. She's been taking her through, like, try and kick and float and do this and all the other. But she's been kind of too scared to let go, and when she lies on her back, she starts panicking, she's going to sink, and all that kind of thing.
What an
she's
awful really, child.
Never really worried about sinking. So we went into, I went with her into a Lido and then inside an inner pool. We went to the bit where she can still stand, but the water's deep enough to do stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't wearing any armbands or anything like that. And then she's worried about sinking and all that. So I said, okay. But she's not scared about putting her face in the water. So once you get your kid not scared about putting your face in the water, here's a strategy. I said, all right, you're scared of sinking. What should I do? And I swam to the bottom of the pool and touched the bottom of my pool with my nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, go on, you do that. You know, go touch the bottom of your pool with your nose. Try your best to do it. And of course, she's thrashing, trying desperately yeah. to get down under. And she couldn't. And the water, of course, kept pushing her back up again. So when you make it an actual thing, you know, go on, try your best to sink and get to the bottom and stay there. It's kind of, they realize, oh, actually, I've got an ask about tit, which is the difficult thing and which is the easy thing. And then she actually found it quite easy just to kind of swim through the water, kind of slightly underwater. We'd been so worried about, okay, keep your head above the water and do some doggy paddle, breaststroke or whatever, and you see you can float. Whereas I'm saying, well, screw that. Just, you know, just do what you want under the water. And that first time of actually saying, try your best to sing, kind of, it's suddenly something after weeks just clicked. So I would recommend
the
that.
The other option I would suggest is to not have a child who's that rubbish. But to have a 3.5-year-old who just spends his entire time in swimming pools underwater and adores it.
Yeah, but then again, he is a four-eyed freak.
That's true. I take him for swimming lessons.
Does he have prescription goggles?
He sadly does not. His eyes thankfully aren't that bad. But I take him to a swimming lesson at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, which is a nice bright and early swimming lesson.
Uh-huh.
And the number one issue that his swimming teacher has is trying to get him to keep his head above water long enough to be taught how to swim while he's merrily swimming along underwater. He doesn't know how to do it above the water. He's taught himself to swim underwater. He loves it so much that he just quite happily swims along under the water. Not like a baby that can naturally do it. He obviously unlearnt that and then learnt again. He just taught himself these horrendous unswimmy... So it'd be useless if he ever wanted to not be dead if he fell off a boat or something. But for playing, he has the best time. He's so phenomenal about swimming. It's just he just adores it.
Oh, well, that's lucky.
Yeah, so it's much better than your ridiculous daughter. How old is Judith?
She's 8, but yeah. she's quite scared of most things.
I'm not mocking Judith, obviously, but did you not take her swimming for a block of years or something?
Yeah, I think so.
That makes perfect sense. And I think but here's a genuine, if our listener does have a child, a young child, the best tip is never, ever let them near armbands. Armbands are the disaster.
I think you're right, yeah. And we did. No, she wore armbands. Yeah, and I think they screw things up.
We're very lucky because we made the same mistake, but Toby just would not wear them. He would scream himself sick if you tried to put armbands on him when he was very little, and then became scared of them as a concept when he was older. So we've never even been able to put them on him.
Okay, that probably helps. It's a bit like people who are lucky enough to find that their child rejects a bottle or a dummy.
There you go, exactly. So he... So, yes, he never had armbands. And also floats. Don't give them the big old flat float-style thing. A noodle is way better. Have you seen the noodles?
Oh, no, yeah. Exactly. No, we give Judith a noodle now. Yeah. So it's an inflatable noodle, and we deflate it mostly.
Okay. We've just got one of the regular sponge noodles. And then the good thing about those is you hook them under their arms, and then they can kick and splash with their arms and legs in a perfectly natural swimming way, but they are... give an extra float, an unobtrusive flotation. Anyway, yeah, that's worked out really, and that's what they use for swimming lessons now.
I would agree. Well, there you are. We've given our listener very important advice.
Yes, but do teach your children to swim, for goodness sake. Kids drown all the time. It's awful.
Yes, and then without kids who are alive, what would Cliff Richard do?
Stop it!
Stop
He's innocent, 100% innocent.
Kitty Elm Guesthouse. Bye-bye, everybody.
Love you, bye.